dead. They'd butcher a whole hog and take it to her, you know, and so forth. And
what was her name? Your aunt's name?
Mary Skinzel.
Yeah. Name rings a bell now. Skinzel.
See, Delphine Skinzel graduated from high school with my older sister, Virginia. And she belongs to the church that I do in Clio.
Oh.
And that's where I got to know her. You know, I saw her there one time, and I had a chat with
small
her
world,
and so forth, yeah. And now she passed away. And she was, well, I'll tell you the kind of a person she was. She had a house, and her daughter had a house next to it, I guess. So then they figured, why do that, you know? So I think she sold her house, moved in with her daughter. But I was told this from one of the neighbors. When she was 92 years old, she cleaned the eave troughs. Mm-hmm. Take a ladder and then move the ladder, climb up and clean the eave troughs.
Yeah.
And she was 98 when she passed away.
And where was this aunt's house when you were staying in Gaylord to go to school?
You know, 27 Gold North?
Yep.
There's the first house is Doc Saunders' house.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then there was used to be a Dairy Queen.
Yep.
And then my aunt's house is the next one.
Okay.
And when I remember in Gaylord, a lot of those homes had outhouses. Mm-hmm. And then about the time of when Roosevelt became president, they started the WPA project. I mean, that's where a lot of sewers were built and expanded, you know, and during that time. They did a lot of good. That stone building, that used to be the old gym,
yes.
That was built by a WPA.
Yes, WPA, yes.
And they did good work, too. You can see right there. That's
still there.
Yep.
But Gene said his dad was.
My dad was involved in that, too, Harry.
Was he?
My dad was, yeah.
Yeah. Well, there were a lot of people who were involved in WPA, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there weren't any jobs.
Harry, talking about the Dairy Queen, did not Jack Skinzel, wasn't he involved with that Dairy Queen at one time?
No, it was one of Dirk Skier's sons owned it.
And Jim.
Jim, I think.
Jim.
Jim, yeah.
Jim.
Jim, and then Jack got out. He may have worked there or something. I don't know if he ever bought it out.
I thought he was involved somehow.
I don't know. Anyway, but he opened one in Munising.
Okay.
A Dairy Queen.
Okay. If you went a little bit farther north, do you remember much about the county fair? Did you ever...
Oh, yeah, I remember
going to the county fair. Was that a big activity? Did you participate in it or just go for the...
We had 4-H potato clubs, and you might have a sample of potatoes, uh-huh. you know, that were there, and they would judge, and you got a ribbon.
So you were in 4-H?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I was in 4-H for quite a few years. I still got some of the ribbon. Then I was a leader for a while. Carl Widger was usually the leader. Then
yes.
I was, yeah.
Harry, did you ever show any animals? Do you recall
no.
animals?
No.
Potatoes was the thing.
Mostly potatoes. Yeah. But Carl Widger used to make... Who lives on it? Is his son...
Nobody
lives in Illinois.
Did both sons pass away?
Yes.
No. Dick.
Rob.
Oh, Dick.
As far as we know, Dick's still alive. The older one is still alive.
The one that lived there passed away.
Bob passed away. He was the last one that lived there.
He's a nice guy.
Mm-hmm. How about the tuberculosis sanitarium? Do you remember anything about that?
Yeah, I remember.
Was it a big deal?
There. Well, it was, yeah. Yeah, and it employed quite a few people, you know. And then after they got medication, which is about the time of the war, you know, a lot of new medicines came out during World War II and that time right after, they didn't need it anymore. But that was quite a place. It was a thriving place at that time during my younger years up until World War II.
Do you remember Dayton Last Block, or was that You said you remember seeing the trees going there, but do you remember much about it, or is that about the time it was?
I very vaguely remember it.
Because it was huge, wasn't it?
Well, pretty good size. And you know what they made?
Well, we got.
They made lasts for shoes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the shoe manufacturers.
Yeah.
And those were formed for a shoe. You wonder how people could. Well, you know, but anyway, that's what those were. Yeah.
How about the courthouse? Do you remember ever going into the old courthouse?
Oh, yeah.
Looks a little different today.
Oh, yeah. The old building, it was sure different, yeah. I remember one time I was at the courthouse. It was, I think, 36, where it was so cold. You know, it was like at Sturgeon River, where the government had a, it was way over 30. Oh, 35, 40 degrees below zero, you know. And I remember McGathy,
mm-hmm.
He was the county treasurer. And there was no mail delivery in town. You had to stop and pick your mail at the post office. Most of them had, you know, had boxes, like my aunt had a box, you know, and so forth. And he was going to the post office, and he met someone there. He said, "Boy, isn't it nice we have a... We got a heat wave here, you know, and so forth." They were a really nice sunny day, commenting on a nice sunny day, you know. So on the way out, he looked at the thermometer. It was like 14 below zero.
A nice sunny 14 below.
Yeah, so.
Some changes like telephone and electricity. You would remember it before and after,
really got electricity unless you had your own set.
Okay.
Your dad probably did. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. Joe Tyson did.
Mm-hmm.
You
say your own set, what do you mean?
A DC.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You had an engine, so it charged the batteries up, like in your basement, and you fed out those batteries.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That would be quite limited to what you would be able to.
Yeah, it would be limited.
You have a radio. What else might you have? Any kind of an appliance?
Or you could have lights.
Okay.
I don't know about a refrigerator. Hey, I don't know.
I don't know about a refrigerator.
They used to get ice in town, bring it home, put it in the ice box.
And, yeah.
But we got electricity here out our way in 48.
Yeah, 46, 48.
Yeah.
I remember Tom and I, we wired both farms.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
We got a book on it, and we talked with Maury. He was an electrician, mm-hmm. And he gave us tips. And when they turned electricity on, our places were the only ones that everything came on smooth.
Everything worked.
Yes, they had electricians, and there was some little thing, you know. Mm-hmm. I remember that.
I can recall Daddy talking about we got power in 48. Yeah. I just remember that.
Yes.
We didn't have to.
And the loans that we got, it was after the war, a bunch of us, we bought the Army surplus line, insulated wire, you know,
uh-huh.
And we buried that, and we hooked up with Elmira, uh-huh. And we had phones that way.
Yeah. Party line.
Oh, yeah, it was a party line.
Yeah.
You can't knock party lines either. If somebody had a problem, there was somebody listening on that would help them out, you know, one way or the other.
Quite a bit of that.
Yep, there was a lot of that, you know.
What did you do any kind of odd jobs or part-time jobs when you were going to school or anything like that?
Well, there wasn't really much work. But when they lumbered off the hardwood, there were a lot of treetops and stuff. And like during vacation, Christmas vacation, Easter vacation, and even other times, well, my dad used to get the wood there for the stove, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think paid 50 cents a cord, I think, stumpage. Mm-hmm. Well, we used to cut logs, cut wood. Arvin Burns, I remember cutting with Arvin Burns, you know. We got $1 a cord for cutting it, splitting it, and piling it. And it was 50 cents each. And you'd average about 4 cord a day, but you worked hard for 4 cord a day. Yeah, so you made a couple bucks. That was a good wage back then. And we shot for 7, but I don't think we ever made 7 cords. That's a lot of cords. And that.
And what kind of wood was that?
Firewood.
Yeah, but what?
It was mostly maple, some elm, but mostly maple. Yeah, there was probably the maple here. And I remember one of those big trees that it was hollow. And my dad, they butted it, you know. And my dad and I, we sawed through it, made two blocks. And it was over a half cord of wood in two blocks. And then hauling, lumbering in woods was a big thing. And then the first trucks that I ever know of hauling wood was Raymond Paskey and Bill Warner. Raymond had a Model T and Bill had a Chevy. And they'd come down from the west past the school, and I don't know how many trips they'd make a day into Gaylord, you know. And one time, and they had the old trucks, you know, and they had a bunk trailer on the back. All it had was a couple of bunks, little logs to lay across, you know, and back wheels and so forth. And remember one day, Raven had one log. It was a huge log on that. It was a big one, you know, but that's all they had on that truck was a big one, you know, one log. See, they could haul more logs on a sled with a team of horses than they could on a truck. Especially the trucks back then. Now it's different, you know.
And did they do that just pretty much in the cooler weather, or was that year-round?
Oh, when they hauled the trucks, it was year-round.
And when you remembered, when you started saying that, the first thing you remembered today when we were talking was you looked out your window when you were
child. Well, what it was...
Was that pretty much winter-related?
What it was, they would cut those logs and then bank them, what they call a log bank. They'd pile them, you know, and then you'd have couple log rafts, and you'd roll them onto the sled, you know, or whatever you were used to haul them.
Okay.
But they were the first two trucks that I know. Excuse me. And then they followed the timber to the Upper Peninsula. And they married the Broskys. Did you ever hear of them that lived in Halleck?
Yes.
They were two girls.
Yep.
Well, one of them married Raymond and one married Bill. I remember when they used to go together, you know.
Mary Daskey.
And I had a roof put on my deck on a condo, and it would want to, you know, fit into the house and so forth, you know. And the fellow that was doing it, I don't know how we got talking up north. He said, yeah, my wife's grandmother up north. And I don't know, I guess, what was her name, you know? She's from around Gaylord. And we told her name, you know, Warner, so forth. And it dawned on me. And so when he went home that night, told his wife, and then she talked to her grandmother, you know, and got
locked out. Followed up on
I think Raymond Paskey's wife had passed away. So, but I knew it's a small world.
In that way.
You mentioned the train. That went, how close did that get to your house?
I went through
Halleck, right?
Halleck, I wasn't in Halleck. I lived here. You know?
Right.
Halleck was a good 2 miles.
Well, the closest train track would be where?
Well, they were the
over by Swatowski's would be the track.
Yeah.
Across
the main
Road.
Track.
That'd be the closest
and
track.
See, Gaylord is known to be the top of Michigan, the lower peninsula, the highest point in the lower peninsula.
Yes.
And sometimes the train for the north, you could hear it wheel spin on it, you know, chuk, 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 you know. When coming from the north. But here's one thing they can't equal today. With all the modern equipment and everything they have today, see, every train had a mail car. And they had a clerk that would pick up the mail, like in Gaylord and surrounding areas. They'd drop it off in Gaylord, you know, he'd pick up the mail and drop the mail that's going there. And they didn't have to lock it or anything. They bags would be laying by the side of the track, you know, nobody's going to bother them. And The train went south around midnight. We called it the midnight train. And the one going north was around, I think, in the morning, early in the morning, like 6:30 or something that time, you know. And if we wanted to mail, my parents came from Detroit, and well, my dad was born and raised here in Gaylord. And you could mail a letter at the depot. They had a mailbox on the depot, and he'd go out and empty it, you know, and they sorted the mail on the train, and it would be delivered that next day in Detroit.
Amazing.
You can't do that today.
Did you ever ride? Did you ever ride the train, or was that just the freight
train? Oh, I've ridden the train. No, it was passenger. Yeah, passenger. And they ran the passenger train until, oh, way after the war, after the time of the war, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you went from Gaylord into World War II.
Yeah.
And then when you came, then after the war, about what year did you come back here?
My dad sold his farm.
Okay.
And my younger sister had a job in Detroit, so, and they were from there, you know. They had friends there. And so they moved there.
Well, but now you said your dad was raised
in Gaylord.
In Gaylord. And then he married
my mother
from Detroit.
Yeah, my mother. They lived in Romulus. I don't know if they rented the home or owned the home or what. And then he used to have to walk to Trenton, which is quite a distance, you know. So he'd come home to work. That's where he had a job. And in the late 1800s, you know, jobs were scarce. They had probably a bigger depression they have today, you know. And in the 1800s, there were more murders than there were in the 1980s.
Hard to believe it.
1880. Yeah.
Huh. And her name? What was her name?
Who's that?
Your mom?
Anna.
And maiden name?
Sokolowski. Sokolowski.
Okay, and your dad was raised where at?
Well, my mother was born, I think mom was. My dad was born in Poland. And he came when he was a year and a half or 2 years old, he and his older sister. And they had a house, I think I have a picture of it.
Who'd they come with then?
They immigrated.
But with their parents, though? Your grandparents?
My dad, yeah, came with his parents.
Okay, your grandparents.
And there probably were quite a bit of the clan that came out around the same time, you know, uh-huh. Because the Treffys to Gaylord were related, you know, not close relation, but we were all related. And, see, the name Dress, my wife and I traveled quite a bit. We went to Poland, and there is no such name as Dress in phone books or anywhere.
Hmm.
The name, pronounced in Polish, was Dress. And it was spelled D-R-E-W-S.
D-R-E-W-S.
Oh, yeah, and even the others. See, and see, when they came to this country, you know, what's your name? Yes. Well, they write it down about the way it sounded, you know, to them. So that's the way it was.
And that's
okay,
the way
so then
thought.
Your dad came at a year and a half, or thereabouts.
With an older sister, you said.
Yeah.
How old was she?
My dad was the oldest. She was probably around a year or so. He could have been... I think he was 2 and a half when he came.
And they came to Gaylord area?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, I think they had new people that were here or something. I'm not too sure of that. Mm. And I know my mother, there was somebody lived east of Gaylord, you know, that the Sokolowski name and their name, I don't remember exactly which one it was, Kuyaba or no, I guess it wasn't that one of them. Anyway, they were related, you know, so he used to call my mother cousin, she'd call him cousin. But
so do you remember your grandparents? The Dress grandparents?
I vaguely have a picture of my grandmother. I don't have one of my granddad. And,
did they remain here, or are they buried here?
No, Saginaw.
Oh.
Because my granddad See, they had a hoop mill. They made wooden hoops for wooden barrels. See, everything was shipped to barrel. Crackers, cookies, anything. Pickles, you name it, that was shipped in barrels. And so he was a hoop coiler, my dad. And that was quite a profession, you know. I guess took quite a bit of skill to do it. And they had to size them and all that, you know. And the hoops, it was L to use elm, and it was cut in strips. And they boiled it, I think, or something, put it in hot water, steamed it.
Had to heat it, yeah.
Yeah, and then they would coil it and fasten them together.
Uh-huh.
And my dad's dad, my granddad, he used to buy, because I remember going with my dad, and said, my dad would own this piece of 40 acres or whatever. So he'd buy a hunk of land with a lot of elm, and he'd timber it off, you know, and then he'd sell it and then buy another one. But then they went to Saginaw. So they were, I guess there were other of the family there, you know. See, my dad had quite a large family. And his sister, she married a Grabowski, and they had a farm around Reese. They raised cherubies. That was their big problem, their main crop. And onions, that land is suitable, you know, for all that stuff. And I remember my dad taking her winter supply of potatoes, and he'd come back with onions, you know, and so forth, you know. And,
Harry, how did you get involved with the Quapus? How do they fit into the Drepps Quapus thing?
Well, my two older sisters, they married brothers, Quapus brothers.
Okay.
Yeah, the Stanley Quapus had a warehouse, you know, where the church, the road between the school and the church, the street, you know, across the railroad.
Yes.
He had a potato warehouse on the left side there. He was in the potatoes, and he had a store on Main Street, right about Mary's Tavern. That was his store. And during the Depression, you know, he was one of these guys, you know, nobody's going to go hungry, you know, nobody's going to go hungry. And they let him run up a tab and turn a tab. Well, after, that would be probably before the war, but when some of the, like, A&P moved in, so forth, the IGA store, well, the people were trading there, you know, which hurt him bad, you know.
Sure.
And so he went bankrupt. He had something like $6,000 on the books. You know what that would be today? It may have not been that much, but you know, $3,600 or $6,000, quite a bit in the thousands. And so he, they abolished that. And then his daughter, Mary, bought the place, she and her husband, Luzinski, Bob's mother, and they built a tavern.
Uh-huh.
So,
do you remember what this building was back then?
No.
Mm-hmm. At one time they made cigars here, tobacco.
Well, it could have been a cigar
factory. But that could have been way early, too.
Yeah, yeah. See, my mother, when she was young, she worked in a cigar factory.
In Gaylord?
No, Detroit.
Oh, yeah, okay. Sorry.
And about the only places women could work would be like cigar factories, match factories, and stuff like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have jobs for them anyplace else, or doing housework, you know. But
well, tell us about when you came back from World War II, and then is that when you...
Where were you at in World War II? Where did you...
I spent a year and a half in Texas. And then I went to Africa briefly, and I spent, I think it was 26 months in Italy, all the way from the beginning, landed in Italy on D-12. I was in service, so I wasn't in combat. But I landed on D-12. We were the first convoy that never was hit. They hit every convoy till ours. And when they split our, we had power going to the Straits of Gibraltar. We had flat top with us all the way, and then we picked up one or two there, you know, and they were destroyers were always running around, you know, near
protection.
Hear the ash cans go off, and right near our ship, we had a it was a lovely.